Amen. I bet she's glad that's over, don't you? That's one of the best spirited church. She's tremendous. Thank you there, Brother Tom. Good job. I heard her practicing before service, and she hit those triplets. That's what that's called, right? Triplets. And her teacher, Belinda, said, oh, you got it. That's like Babe Ruth telling, you know, a little leaguer, you can hit a home run, you know, I mean. But did a great job tonight. Thank you so very, very much. Outstanding. Who's up tonight? I had a sign said Raritan Trio. So is that you two? Four. It says trio, but if you want to do a quartet, come on, let's do it. All right, very good. I was afraid. I'm sorry, who was it? It's Mary and Mindy? Okay, I thought it was Mary, Mindy, and Dad singing. I was concerned for a minute. He would lead us in soon and very soon. We shall see. Bible to 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will get into a passage here that talks about this ordinance that we will observe tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to get down to verse 23 to begin our reading. So find that place in your New Testament, and if you are able, let's stand in honor tonight of the Lord's Word here and follow along as I begin reading. In verse 23, Paul writing here, and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And what you notice, verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's what I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight, that last phrase of verse 26, ye do show the Lord's death. Father, I thank you for the privilege again that we've already said tonight, this wonderful opportunity to gather around the table that reminds us of the sacrifice that your Son made for us. Help us tonight. Help us to concentrate. Lord, help us to put aside the cares of tomorrow and the burdens that some people might be carrying and think on the Lord Jesus tonight. Holy Spirit, would you help us to do that? We'll thank you in advance in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you and be seated. It was over 6 months ago that we last gathered around this table to remember the price that Jesus paid to purchase our salvation. We normally would observe the Lord's Supper 4 times a year, but of course, the 1st of April, we did not have that opportunity. So much has happened in our world since the last observance of this ordinance. So much has changed, you know that. But people in the courts of heaven, the Father still sits on His throne. His Son, our Savior, still sits at His right hand. And the Spirit of God is still working on the hearts of people all over the world. All is well where God resides. Everything's all right in my Father's house. No doubt about it. Now, something else has not changed since the last time we observed this ordinance. Something else has not changed since the first time this ordinance was observed by Jesus and His disciples in the upper room. The earth and all those on it, including the world system, has undergone seismic changes since then. But what I want to speak about tonight or this afternoon has not changed. And I could preach on many aspects, many things that the Lord's Supper is, but for today's message, for tonight's, this afternoon's message, one thing that the Lord's Supper is and always has been is a proclamation. Now, a proclamation is a statement. It's proclaimed. It's a formal announcement, a formal public announcement. And we are making a proclamation tonight. We are making a statement. We're making a formal public announcement. And we don't have to guess as to what that proclamation or announcement is about. In verse 26, Paul was talking here about Jesus at the Lord's Supper, and he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, talking about what Jesus said, ye do show the Lord's death. Now that word, S-H-E-W, is the old English word for our more modern word, S-H-O-W. But it's basically the same definition. The definition is to proclaim publicly. So Paul quotes Jesus as saying that when we eat and drink the bread and juice at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we are publicly proclaiming that we believe the death of Jesus is what was necessary for man to be saved. That's what we're saying tonight. Now, in this day, when everything was getting started there in the first century, unbelievers would observe Christians taking the Lord's Supper and they would ask, what are they doing? What are they doing? Passing bread around and passing the juice, I guess. And they would ask, what are they doing? And the answer was, they are proclaiming to the world that their only hope of eternal life in heaven someday is through the death of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are proclaiming tonight. Now, Jesus said in verse number 26, for as often as ye eat this bread was the bread that was passed by Christ himself as he sat with the 12 disciples. You read about it in verse number 24. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. So the bread is symbolic of his body. Just as the bread was broken that night, at that Passover meal, the body of Jesus would be broken on the way to Calvary. His body was decimated. His body was torn. His body was bloodied. His body was shredded. as the wrath of God. You understand, folks, that's all the result of the wrath of God that came upon Him for my sin and yours. His body was shredded as He carried the sins of mankind on His body to the cross. So He says that in verse number 26, as often as you eat this bread. And then He says in verse 26, as often as you drink this cup. Now, what cup was that? This cup was the cup of juice that was passed by Christ Himself as He sat with the 12 disciples. It's talked about in verse number 25. The juice was symbolic of His blood. And on the cross, the blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of sin. Pure, holy blood flowed, as we sang tonight, from Emmanuel's veins. Not one drop was spared as Jesus paid it all for our salvation. Now, I want you to notice in verse 26, Jesus says, this bread, this cup. He was specific about the bread and the cup because they represented His body. They represented His blood. Now, this very easily could be a reference to the truth that the body and blood of countless animal sacrifices could not do what this bread and this body and this blood could do. There is no other body, there is no other blood that can do what the offering of Christ's body and blood can do for mankind. Now, that is the proclamation we're making today. You do show as often as you do it. You show forth. What can wash away my sin? We sang it tonight. I didn't know it was on the schedule. Nothing. This is our proclamation tonight. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, hey, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's our proclamation this afternoon. That's what we are showing forth as we observe this ordinance. Let me say three things in relation to this tonight. Number one, this is a proclamation to our church corporately. It's a proclamation to our church corporately. Now, this ordinance was left to the church to observe. It's to be administered under the authority of the local church. Some of you will remember John Hudson. John's been in heaven now for years and years. John was very faithful. At the beginning, when he and his wife first came here, his wife was very sick and couldn't come, but maybe once every so often, John would come every Sunday morning, but stayed by his wife's side the rest of the time. Now, she went to heaven. They were married 68 years. Married 68 years when she went to heaven. And John was of good mind and body, and they lived down there in one of those assisted living places there in Kankakee. And John conducted a Bible study there on Wednesday morning there at the place. And he came to me one time and he said, Pastor, remember John's head shook a little bit, you know, and he would say, Pastor, but he was sharp-minded. And some of the residents of the home that attended the Bible study, they wanted John to serve communion. And John came and he said, Pastor, they want me to serve communion. But we talked about it, and he knew that he couldn't do that, and I knew he couldn't do that. And no, he can't do. You can't. An individual believer can't take bread and juice and serve the Lord's Supper to a bunch of folks. It has to be done under the authority of the local church. Now, some of those residents, you know, they wanted to observe communion because of their religious roots. When they take the communion, they believe they are actually receiving the body and the blood of Jesus. That's their receiving Christ. That's what they believe. And some of those were of the Catholic faith back then. But a local church has the authority. There are only two ordinances given to the local church to observe. That's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism pictures the complete work of Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection to save from sin. When those little Luco boys got baptized a couple of weeks ago, they sat in the water of that baptismal tank, and that water crossed their body, and that forms the shape of a cross. Christ died for our sin on a cross. They were buried under the water in symbolism of Christ's burial, and they came up out of the water, symbolic of Christ's resurrection. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is pictured every time somebody's baptized back there in that tank. The only difference is we don't hold them under 3 days and three nights. Amen. That would be devastating. But that's one ordinance. The other ordinance, the Lord's Supper, this one right here, it really concentrates on the price paid by Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, for redemption, for atonement. So today, Faith Baptist Church is showing, we are proclaiming, we are declaring, we are making a public announcement, if you will, that we as a church believe that it is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death alone that we are able to be saved. Nothing can be taken from it. Nothing can be added to it. It is Jesus' death, His death alone, that saves from sin. And that has not changed since the first Lord's Supper in the upper room with Jesus and His disciples. As oft as you do it, you do show, proclaim, declare the Lord's death. Now, I'll tell you what this is important for a church. It's important for a church to make a declaration like this because of all the false teaching that's out there about salvation. Now, people, false teaching is not new. False teaching was absolutely everywhere by the end of the first century. By the end of the first century, only 50 or 60 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, false teaching was already a problem. And the New Testament writers, Paul and Peter and John and Jude and others of them, they dealt with the heresies that were creeping into local churches concerning salvation. And so it was important for churches in the first century to observe the Lord's table. And as they did so, they were showing, they were proclaiming, they were declaring that all those other teachings on salvation are heretical. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus that a person can be born again. Now, you know that most of Paul's letters were written to a local church like Ephesus, a church at Ephesus, a church at Philippi, a church at Colossae, a church at Thessalonica, a church at Rome, over and over. All those letters written to individual churches. Sometimes they were shared with others. For instance, the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians church was to be shared with those of Laodicea. And so they passed them around. You know, there's one book in your New Testament that's a completely different story. And that's Galatians. And Galatians is not written to one church. Because Galatia was not a city. Galatia was a country. And within Galatia, there were many, many churches. And I'll tell you something. The Judaizers had so infected and so infested the whole region of Galatia with false doctrine about salvation that the Holy Spirit of God, let me tell you, Paul did not sit down under his own thinking and craft the book of Galatians. The Spirit of God had Paul sit down and write one letter to all of those churches. And in that letter, in the very first chapter, he dealt with the matter that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And said, if I or anybody else or an angel of God ever come preaching another gospel besides the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, let him be damned to hell. That's what he said. Let him be accursed. He didn't just say it once. He said it twice. That wasn't Paul's words, friend. That wasn't Paul's own creation. That came from the Spirit of God, directing Paul to write that letter to send out, I mean, just send out a blitz mailing, a direct mailing, if you will, to all of those churches. So I say tonight that it is important for our church corporately to proclaim over and 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 over. And the message, the proclamation, the declaration, the announcement never changes. It is the shed blood of Jesus and His blood alone that washes away sin. And that's what this ordinance is all about. So it's important for our church corporately to make this declaration. But not only that, number two, listen to this. This is a proclamation to each other. Now, you are sitting tonight in the vicinity of other members of this assembly. Now, nobody should be staring at others during this time of remembrance. And I'll say that again. Folks, for one reason or another, somebody with something going on in their heart might decide to bypass taking the Lord's Supper on a certain evening. You know who that's between? That's between them and God. It's not for some Barney Fife to pick up on and run around and say, hey, did you see so-and-so didn't take the Lord's Supper? I've been so tempted sometimes not to take it myself, just to see what some of you folks would say. Okay? So we're not sitting around staring at each other during this time, but look, people around you know that you take a piece of bread and you take a cup of juice. And they understand, look, by your participation, you are proclaiming that the only way man's sin can be atoned, washed away, forgiven, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we are stating to each other, this is not just what the pastor believes. This is not a Catholic church. It is a Baptist church. And we don't believe something because the pastor teaches it. We believe something because the Bible says it. We believe that the Bible teaches that the death of Jesus is the only way to have your sins forgiven and washed away. And you know what? That's a wonderful testimony to your fellow member. Each of us is proclaiming to the rest of us, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. I want to tell you what else this is important for when it comes to our church and each other. It's important for the unity of the church. Important for the unity. You know, there are people here from all kinds of past backgrounds and all kinds of present circumstances sitting in this room tonight. There is a great variance in education. There's a great diversity when it comes to monetary wealth. There's a diversity when it comes to skill set. There's a diversity of ethnicity. There's a diversity of upbringing. On and on and on I could go. There's somewhat of a difference in spiritual growth and even the length of time that someone has been saved. But you know what, people? When we take a piece of this bread, and when we take a cup of this juice, we are proclaiming to each other tonight that none of those things are taken into consideration. Education or the lack thereof. Monetary wealth or the lack thereof. Skill sets or the lack thereof. No matter ethnicity, no matter the upbringing, no matter at the level of spiritual growth, no matter the amount of time as a child of God, none of those things are taken into consideration. When we share this bread and share this cup, we are declaring that we are all on the same page. We are standing on the level ground that is found at the foot of the cross. Now, I want to tell you something. It may not be as big a problem in this century as it was in the first century when churches were getting started and they were being made up of saved Jews and saved Gentiles. Do you understand? Those two never mixed. Never crossed mixed. They never mixed. Here they are attending the same assembly. Gentiles that came out of pagan, idolatrous worship. And Jews that came out of Judaism, a form of religion, denying the power thereof. And there was not only the Jew-Gentile aspect. There was the employer-employee aspect. A lot of times, The employer, the company owner, if you let me say it like that, the owner of the business, several of his employees would be attending in the same church. And you know what? When you go to work Monday through Friday, if you're an employee, you respect the employer. And you treat the employer properly. And you work hard for the employer as if you were working for Christ. But when you come to church, when you come to the assembly, when you come to the gathering on Sunday, there is no hierarchy. There is no class system. There is no employer-employee relationship here. There is a family. There is a brother-sister relationship in the local church. And all of the ground at the foot of the cross is level. And we proclaim to each other that it is only through the shed blood, no matter your background, no matter your present circumstance, it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that every one of us is saved. If you let me say it this way, whoever the most ignorant person is in this room when it comes to knowledge, and whoever the most knowledgeable person is in this room when it comes to salvation, they meet at the same cross. The poorest person in this church and the wealthiest person in this church, when it comes to salvation, they meet on the same ground around the cross. And that's what this bread and this cup shows. It shows that all of us have come by way of the cross. It's a proclamation to each other. And then let me say thirdly tonight, and I want you to hear me on this one. This is a proclamation to ourselves. To ourselves. It is settled, right? With you? It's settled, right? It's finished, right? The old account was settled long ago. The case is settled and it rests at the foot of the old rugged cross. And as you eat this bread and drink this cup, be reminded, church, of the moment in time that you put your faith in Jesus' finished work for your salvation. Let it be a proclamation to you. Let that settle into your soul. Let it wash over you in comforting waves. Saved, saved, saved. My sins are all forgiven. Christ is mine. I'm on my way to heaven. Once a guilty sinner, lost and done. Now a child of God, saved through His Son. Saved, I'm saved through Christ my all in all. Remember that tonight. That ought to be a proclamation to yourself. Remember Him in this time. Remember His body. Remember His blood. Remember your faith that trusted Him and Him alone to save you. Get it deep within your soul. Remember it until it is etched and ingrained on your heart. And here's why. If the Lord's will is for any of us to linger in sickness before we die, let me tell you what happens. The hounds of hell will bay at our heart. They will cast doubt on our salvation. I have seen it so. I've not experienced that because I've not been sick unto death. But I have been in the presence of some wonderful Christian people who were coming to the finish line. And as they begin to come to the finish line, they start to have feelings of uncertainty and doubt. And you say, that's just a sign of a weak Christian. I don't think so. I believe the devil plays havoc until the very end. I believe he's active, he's working, he messes up as much as he can right until the last. So church, being reminded over and over again through this ordinance and other ways that the old account was settled long ago will help. Will help if you get in that situation where you have a terminal illness and the doctor says you've got this long to live and you feel the life ebbing out of your body and the old devil, old slewfoot shows up on your shoulder and says, well, what do you think now? What's it going to be like? Are you really going to heaven? Don't you tell me He doesn't do that. I know He's done that. I've talked to people to whom He has done that. Pastored some of them here. Who in their last days were very shaken. I could call names and he would go, what? Her? Him? But folks, the devil's not going to leave us alone. And at the end of life, you want to be assured and reminded by what you've thought on and dwelt on all through these years of being saved. I love what the songwriter, we sang the song tonight, but we didn't sing this verse. There is a fountain filled with blood. I think it's the third verse or the fourth verse says, ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Shall be. I remember Dr. Curtis Hudson preaching at the Sword Conference. I wasn't there, but I heard it. Heard the message. Dr. Curtis Hudson's body was racked by cancer, prostate cancer that had metastasized and spread through his body. And they knew that his days were short. And he got up out of breath and tried to preach that evening at the Sword Conference. And he talked about the fact that he had already met with his family and already decided on the tombstone, the marker that would go on his grave. He's buried right outside of Decatur, Georgia. I've been to his gravesite. And there's the marker. And he said on one side of the marker will have his personal information. Born this date, died this date. He said on one side of the marker is going to be the plan of salvation. He said, I'll write the plan of salvation, have it etched in my marker. And it is. On the other side, I can't remember what he had on that third side, but he said on the other side, on the fourth side, I want you to write the words. He told his family, I want you to have the words on there. Heir, since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And church, this is why this is an important time tonight for me. It's an important time for our church corporately. It's an important time for our interpersonal church relationship. But it's an important time for us personally. It is a personal declaration to my own soul that Jesus and Jesus alone is the foundation of my salvation. Show that to yourself tonight. I'll tell you what the devil, won't be able to stand up against. He won't be able to stand up against this body and this blood. This body and this blood. Puts him on the run. So Paul's quoting Jesus, and he says here that the Lord told his disciples, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, you proclaim, you declare, you announce the Lord's death. Alas, and did my Savior bleed and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote such sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. You do show the Lord's death till he come. It's a declaration. It's a proclamation of the fact that we believe only through Christ, his sacrifice on Calvary, do we have any hope for heaven. I hope that's settled in your heart. That is definitely settled for us as a church corporately. No other gospel will be preached here but that one, as long as I'm here, and I hope as long as you're here, none other. Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you for this ordinance. It means so much to us. Please help us tonight to squeeze everything out of it that you want us to get. And Lord, it's good for our church corporately to make this statement. And it's good for us in our interpersonal relationship as a church to make this statement. And it's good for me, for myself, my own heart and soul, to make this statement. It is through Christ's death and his death alone that we are saved. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me say tonight, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you've trusted in something else besides the shed blood of Christ, what a great opportunity for you tonight during this invitation song to make your way to the front here. We have men to talk to men, ladies to talk to ladies. And they can show you what the Bible has to say about trusting Christ and him alone for your soul's salvation. Get it down in your heart tonight, church member. The old account was settled some time ago for you. Never turn loose of it. Make sure your profession. Proclaim to yourself tonight, to each other, and for the church corporately, that it is Jesus and his death alone that is our hope of heaven. Let's stand together, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and begin to ask the companies to play the song of invitation if you need to come. If not, you turn your chair into an altar right there. I ask the men who are going to serve the supper to come ahead and make their way to the front tonight.